Thank you, and ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for watching again this morning. Will you turn in your Bible with me today to Romans chapter 11? As you that watch the broadcast regularly know, we're talking about the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And we're discussing that in the light of the fact that that mystery had been hid from the foundation of the world, and it's not a part of prophecy. Today, in Romans chapter 11, would you notice with me, please, verse 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. I say then, have they, and it's a reference to Israel as a nation. Look back in verse 1. I say then, if God cast away his people, see, his people, it's the people of Israel. Come down to verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled if they should fall? God forbid, but rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them, if the fall of the nation Israel, be the riches of the world, in other words, the whole world is made rich, spiritually speaking, through the fall of Israel. If the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? He's saying that if Gentiles are being saved today as a result of Israel's fall, how much more will Gentiles be saved in the millennium, in the kingdom, when Israel has come to her fullness, when she's the head of the nations again? Verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to immolation them which is my flesh, and might save some of them, not all of them. He knows in the context that at the coming of the Lord, they're all going to be saved. And he's not trying to get Israel as a nation saved in the context. He's just trying to get some saved out of them on the basis of God's foreknowledge of chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, and long in there. In other words, Israel fell at the cross. They said, we have no king but Caesar. They said, crucify this man. They said, we'll not have this man to reign over us. They said, let his blood be upon us and our children, as if God said, okay, according to your faith, so be it. Have at it. And they became a fallen nation. But they were not cast out until about A.D. 70, when Titus with the Roman army went in there, burned the city to the ground, and carried Israel captive among the nations. So the fall is one thing, the casting out is another thing. But Paul said, through their fall, salvation came unto the Gentiles. In other words, the Gentiles that we know could have never been saved by blessing Israel as in Matthew 25. No way. The Gentiles we know are saved by Israel's fall. How's that? Through Israel's fall, in their fall, they rejected Christ. Look at them. Come on over into Romans chapter 11, verse 30. For as you, a reference to the Jews there, you Israelites, for as you in time past have not believed God, I'm sorry, a reference to the Gentiles to whom he's writing. In verse 30, for as you Gentiles, in time past have not believed God. They didn't believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so of these, Israel, also now not believed, that through your mercy they may obtain mercy. Hold on there and turn to Acts 28. In Acts 28, Paul in Jerusalem is speaking unto a bunch of Jews gathered together to hear him. Verse 17, it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they had come, and he begins to speak unto them. And he tells them that I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem. Verse 18, who, reference to the Romans, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you, the Jews there, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. What is the hope of Israel that he's referring to? It has to do with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Through the fall of Israel, salvation came unto the Gentiles. Not their rise, their fall. Hold on to Acts 28 and go back to Romans again. In Romans 11, notice in verse 28, as concerning the gospel, they, Israel, their enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, their beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God without repentance, for as you, Gentiles, in time past have not believed God. In the Old Testament scriptures, we today were unbelievers. We didn't believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You have not believed God. Yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so of these also now not believe that through your mercy they may obtain mercy. In other words, the Gentiles, I'll come out here with a parenthesis like this, and I'll put in here the Gentiles, the Gentile nations, and through the fall of Israel, they rejected their king. They said, he'll not reign over us. Through that, mercy came to us. They said, crucify him. They said, put him to death. They said, let his blood be upon our hands and our children. And so he was crucified, and by his crucifixion at Calvary, we are saved. By believing in him, we have salvation. The Bible said God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. In other words, the whole world as we know it today, Gentiles as we know them today, could not have been saved without Jesus Christ dying at Calvary. They could not have been saved by blessing Israel as a nation. Why? Israel became Lo Ammi. Israel is gone. But through Israel's fall and through their rejection of their Savior, God had mercy on us. They said, crucify this man. And by his crucifixion at Calvary, you as a Gentile can be saved today, whether you've ever seen a Jew or not. It matters not what your attitude to Israel has been. It matters not if you would have been in the land over there and aiding the enemies of Israel. That wouldn't matter today. God will save you by the death of Christ at Calvary if you will receive him. Why? By his death at Calvary, having been rejected by Israel, God had mercy on us Gentiles, and through our mercy, he could have mercy on them. Go back to Acts 28 again. Acts 28, verse 20. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound for this chain, with this chain. What is the hope of Israel today? It's the same as you. They have no hope outside of Jesus Christ dying for their sins. All of the conversation today and all the talk about a scattering of Jews in the land over there that believe in God and believe that Jesus is a prophet and keep the... all that is nothing. God will not save anybody today outside the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God will have mercy on any individual that have come to him today through Christ's death at Calvary. Anybody around the world that will believe that Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died for their sins, God will have mercy on. But anybody that will say, I believe that Jesus is a great prophet and that he's the Son of God and I believe that he died at the hands of wicked men and that God raised him from the dead, but I believe in keeping the law to be saved, will never get saved. The Bible said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. There is one gospel. Paul said to the Galatians, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. He said, even an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Listen to me. Paul is not preaching that Jesus Christ rose to sit on the throne of David. He's not saying that you can come to God through Israel's reign and Christ reigning over them. He's saying that you can come to God through the sacrifice that Jesus Christ gave at Calvary. It is clear. Now, through the fall of Israel, salvation came to the Gentile. Now, hold on to Romans 11 and go back to Genesis with me and go to Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God promised to curse any nation of men that cursed Israel, and did. He cursed the Egyptians, they cursed the seed of Abraham. He cursed the Babylonians, they cursed the seed of Abraham. He cursed the Assyrians, they cursed the seed of Abraham. He cursed the Roman Empire, they cursed the seed of Abraham. God did it. He said to Abraham, I bless you and I bless your seed. And I'll bless the ones that bless your seed. Notice, in the book of Luke, notice this promise in action. In Luke chapter 7, verse 1. Luke chapter 7, verse 1. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. In other words, a Gentile is there. And when he heard of Jesus, the centurion heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he, the centurion, that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and hath built us a synagogue. You know that it doesn't make any difference if you love the nation of Israel or hate them today. Don't you understand that? Don't you understand that it wouldn't make any difference if you would have been a part of a nation that was just lobbing Scud missiles into Palestine and to Israel? Do you know that that wouldn't have changed anything? The fact that God would have mercy on you today if you'd come to God through Jesus Christ? But according to the prophecies here, according to the Old Testament prophecies, that nation that put those missiles on Israel could not be blessed of God. God said, Abraham, I'll bless you, and I'll bless your seed after you, and I'll bless the ones that bless you, but I'll curse those that curse you. And he did it in the Old Testament scriptures. Why, according to the Old Testament prophecy, Saddam Hussein and all of his people that were a part of that action against Israel back there couldn't be saved. They couldn't go into the kingdom. Why? Because they cursed the brethren of Christ, according to the scriptures. But today, every one of them can be saved. How? By believing in Jesus Christ. Why? Jesus Christ died for their sins at Calvary. God was in Christ reconciling them unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto him. There is no difference today between the Jew and the Israelite and the Greek and the Gentile and the... There is no difference. There is no difference today between the English and the British and the Irish and the Africans and the... On and on and on. all men can be saved today that will come to God through Jesus Christ, but there's only one way that you can do that, and that is by your believing that He died for your sins. I hear preachers about Easter time on television, and they're preaching the crucifixion of Christ as if they hate the fact that He died. Paul said, "I glory in the cross of Christ." The Apostle Peter in Matthew 16, Jesus Christ said, "I'm going up to Jerusalem. They're going to crucify me." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." He was not going to permit the death of Christ. Had it been left up to Peter, you couldn't have been saved. Listen to me. There are those of you that are listening to my voice. You're in churches today that are following the ministry of the Apostle Peter. Had it been up to Paul, to Peter, no way would you have ever been saved. As far as Peter was concerned, you could have been condemned to hell and he wouldn't have lifted a finger to get you saved. He said to Jesus, "No, this shall not be unto thee." And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they came to arrest Jesus, Peter pulled the sword and began to fight. He's going to stop this. He's not going to let his king die. And then after Jesus was crucified, Peter didn't believe in his resurrection. He ran to look into the tomb to see if he was there or not. Why? He didn't believe in the resurrection of Christ. He did not believe in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ back there. He did not believe that Jesus Christ was dying for his, yours, or anyone else's sins. And his actions proved it. But that isn't all. In Acts chapter 10, when it came down to a situation of him going to Cornelius, read the passage. Cornelius, a devout man, one that feared God with his house, gave much alms to the people. On and on, he fulfilled the needs of Genesis 12 and other passages for him to be blessed of God. He was a Gentile that blessed the seed of Abraham. And so God sent an angel to him and told him, "Go and get Peter, and he'll come and tell you what you need to do." But Peter was not in agreement with that at all. No way would he go to a Gentile. The Lord let down this great sheet in front of him. It had these unclean beasts in it. He said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But he said, "Not so, Lord. Nothing common or unclean ever passed through my lips." And it happened three times. And it wasn't until then, it wasn't by the Great Commission of Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, that Peter found out that he's going to the Gentiles. It wasn't back there in those passages he found that out. It's there that day. And the Lord said, "Peter, what God has cleansed, call not thou common nor unclean." And Peter went with the people to Cornelius' house. And when he went in, you know what he said? The first thing he said to those Gentiles, he said, "It is an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation." Are you listening? This man that believed in the Lord, this man that believed in the Old Testament scriptures and believed the truth of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this man of God said it's an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation, but God has showed me that I'm not to call any man common or unclean. In other words, until Acts chapter 10, until that day there, until that time there, Peter did not know that it was all right to go to such as you and I. And he still wouldn't have gone then if the man hadn't have been one that feared God and worked righteousness. No way. Through the fall of Israel, not their rise, through the fall of Israel, salvation has come unto the Gentiles. Look at John in Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. Matthew 3, verse 1, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight," and on and on and on. Do you believe for 3 seconds that John the Baptist would have went to Gentiles in Pensacola, Florida, Montgomery, Alabama? No way. He's a prophet to Israel to call them to repentance. But they didn't repent and said they stood idly by and watched him get killed. Look at Jesus Christ. Turn to Matthew. Take Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. The attitude of the Lord at that time. You were not in the program, folks. You did not fit in that program at that time. Look in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Look in chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well then, pray tell, why do the preachers try to preach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as if Gentiles of this day were in that program? There isn't a Gentile alive, nor an Israelite, for that matter. There is no individual on the face of the earth that was involved, that was a part of that program, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No way. Jesus Christ was not sent to the Gentiles. He said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he told the apostles, don't go to the Gentiles. But there are people make him out to be a liar today. Why? Because there's no money in doing otherwise. You cannot preach the Word of God rightly divided. You cannot preach the mystery that was given through the Apostle Paul and build $25 and $30 million buildings today called churches. I remember a man that's very well known in America giving his testimony one day. He's a great, greatly exalted evangelist in America today. I heard that man tell about being in an assembly of the Southern Baptist Convention and how that they put him out because him and his church out in Texas wouldn't give to the cooperative program. So he went and established an independent fundamental Baptist church. And he's been a great preacher. He connives and he builds assemblies. He builds the fastest growing congregations and assemblies in America and all that kind of business. Known as a soul winner. Well, I got news for him. If he would have rejected the doctrine of the Baptist Church, he wouldn't have 300 and 400 coming to the altar on Sundays. He wouldn't even have them coming to the assemblies. You see, people have to try to work the ministry of the Apostle Paul into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John today to make a living in the so-called ministry. You can't pave great big humongous parking lots and stripe them all off and build $30 million monstrosities that they call church buildings by preaching the real truth of the Word of God. Notice in Matthew let's go to Mark and look at Mark. Take Mark 16 in one hand and go to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. In Romans 15, do you believe that the book of Romans is part of God's holy word? Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. What was Jesus Christ doing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? He's confirming the promises made unto the fathers. Who are the fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, what was the ministry of Jesus Christ back here? It was to Israel. He said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, go not in the way of the Gentiles. And yet people say that the ministry to the Gentiles is back there. Well, they're lying. It isn't back there, according to the Word of God. Now, after his death, burial, and resurrection, notice what he said. In Mark 16, verse 15, he told the apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized should be saved. How are they to do this? Turn to Luke chapter 24. In Luke 24, verse 47, he said unto them that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Turn, please, to Acts chapter 1. Notice the method that this is to be done. Verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, the children must first be fed in that program. They were to go Jerusalem first, then Judea, then Samaria, and not until they had done that could they go to the Gentiles. And Peter in Acts chapter 10 told Cornelius, it's an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company come on one of another nation. And so instead of a rise of Israel through their preaching, Israel has fallen. So what I learned then, I learned from Paul in Romans chapter 11 that through that fall, salvation came to us. If Israel was risen today, if they were the head of the nations today, we that are in America couldn't be saved. Why? Because to be saved, we had to bless the seed of Abraham. We had to bless the Israelite and work for the Israelite and keep their law. And we couldn't be saved. Why, there are those of you that listen to me. You know this is true. And I see men all over the country today. And I talk to them and they say, well, I can't live it. Well, they'd sure as the world go to hell if they had to bless Israel to be saved. But you don't have to bless Israel to be saved. How can you be saved? Jesus Christ died for your sins at Calvary. Israel rejected him, and by his crucifixion, Israel and the Gentiles can be saved today. I'm talking about the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. What is that mystery? That there's a time in here where everybody on the face of this earth that will trust Christ's death at Calvary for their salvation, God will receive them. Will you receive him right now? Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was made to be sin for us. Him who knew no sin became our sin that we might be made the righteous of God in him. Will you claim him right now, believing that Jesus Christ was judged in your behalf, crucified in your behalf, and rose from the dead? Will you trust him today? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thank you for listening again. Until next time, good day.